how can the ocean improve our mental health?
I like to break it down into an acronym that you use the word PERM. And out of that acronym, you have positivity, empathy, resilience, and mindfulness. And I think there's a number of different aspects of the way we engage with the coastline or ocean or even water. My medium is surfing, which is essentially engaging with breaking waves and the movement of those waves. And it's important not to think in a heroic sense about wave riding being the biggest, best wave. Waves can be extremely safe and gentle. And a lot of the surfing that I celebrate and do is often in very safe, easy to ride waves. And how I like to break it down is the beauty of just being in the ocean, but particularly riding waves on any type of board or body, whether it's you lying or standing or not even having a board at all in the style of body surfing, is that positivity is something that happens. You feel good about the experience. Empathy is really important because you're sharing the experience with others. But mm-hmm. once you get in the mindset of recognizing that you're always sharing the experience with the bigger body of the environment, then that's an important thing as well. Because even if you're surfing alone as a human being, you're also sharing that experience with sea life, with the jellyfish, with the seals, with the dolphins. Even if you're not seeing them, they're there. And resilience is a very powerful thing that being in breaking waves teaches you, because the wipeout is as much part of the experience as the ride, and getting back up for more and going back out to catch another wave is a real great learning journey. And of course, mindfulness is simply being in the present, and anything that allows you to reduce any clutter in your mental and physical being and focus on the here and now is a really important thing in society. And it's been something that has been celebrated back thousands of years ago to the ancients, and will be something extremely important as we move forward. And there are many activities that allow you to be present in that state of mindfulness. And the great thing about being in the ocean is because it's in a state of flux, it's a three-dimensional environment, just physically being there immediately facilitates your awareness of the light, the watercolor, the salt, the tides, the texture of the sand under your feet, the movement of the breaking water. And those elements, positivity, empathy, resilience, and mindfulness, for me are the kind of, that's the great acronym that really encapsulates why wave riding is such a powerful opportunity for people from all backgrounds. And they may well not live at the coast. They may be accessing waves at a new generation of surf lakes, or they may be coming to the coast once in their year, or they may be just engaging with blue health through swimming in a river or a lake. But I think what's really special about surfing is it's all of that with the movement, the dance of actually physically riding to shore on that breaking wave.
And how and why does it declutter the mind? Is it just because you're focusing so much on trying to ride the wave and just trying to be in the water? Or what do you think the maybe underlying mechanisms are for the reason why we can just relax when we're in the water, even if it's some quite menacing experience to begin with?
Well, there's a lovely kind of synergy between what Jay Wallace Nichols described as the blue mind and the red mind with surfing. And Jay's book, which really kind of set the threshold for the relationship between surfing and mindfulness, was a real game changer. And he talked about with a lot of action activities and action sports, particularly surfing, there is a sense of the red mind overtaking, which can be fear, adrenaline, anxiety, if you see the power of the ocean in front of you, or if you are troubled by the people around you because of the behavior that they exhibit. That's that sense of the red mind kind of letting off steam. But juxtaposed to that is the blue mind, which is linked to flow state and that opportunity to be completely channeled on what is coming at you and what you're doing. And I think that lots of people who do go to the sea, they do experience both. And that's why I really like to celebrate small wave surfing, because a lot of people are worried that they're going to be embarrassed wearing a wetsuit if they're surfing in a temperate climate like we do in the UK. They're going to be uncomfortable wearing something so revealing as a tight-fitting wetsuit. They're going to be scared by the power of the waves. They're going to be on the wrong equipment. They're going to be with friends that maybe make them feel like they're not as good as them. And I think that it's really important to consider, you know, when, where, and how you're engaging with the coastline. And then that kind of reduces the overwhelming feeling of the red mind, where it's going to be too scary and too much. So my advice is, for if you are worried about crowds, you know, look to surf in some marginal conditions where the waves might not be as good as other beaches, but there will be a lot less people, as long as it's safe and you're with the right people and using the right equipment. And then at that stage, you can really appreciate the opportunities of the blue mind, where, first of all, seeing and reading the sea is an important start point. Looking out to the horizon, deciding what the tide's doing, what the wind's doing, what the conditions are, where people are positioned. And then, you know, safely entering that space. And I feel, for me, that there's a little bit of a transition between physically starting to see the coast and getting excited. And I see that with my kids, particularly, say they've had a busy day at school and we're lucky enough to live on the coast, and we walk down the cliff and start to read the sea. And already there's this beautiful transition where the mindfulness is really starting to take over, you know, all of the things that they've been going through in the day are now starting to be completely forgotten about, because the focus is starting to channel towards, wow, look at those beautiful left-handers peeling across the bay. You know, look at that rainbow, look at that rain squall on the horizon. And then it gets more and more focused as you actually enter the water, and you're completely engulfed in seeing the waves, deciding how you're going to get out to the waves, sitting up on your board, noticing where the next wave is coming from, paddling for that wave, if you're successful, catching it, maybe lying or standing and riding that wave to the inside and feeling that eruption of joy from the movement, the dance, the momentum, and then wanting to go out and do the same thing. And the beauty of an activity like surfing is that it never repeats, in the sense that, unlike skiing or skateboarding or BMXing, where the terrain is fixed, the changing ocean environment means that every single wave is different, sometimes only subtly different, but different enough to make every single ride, every single experience unique. And the great thing about surfing is that it's not just the popping up and the riding towards the sand, whether you're a beginner or an expert or a professional. It's also the paddling out through the water. It's the sitting on the board. It's the shared space with sea life, with other surfers, with the natural environment. And I think the sensitivity you develop towards the natural environment in that situation is a really powerful opportunity to promote environmental activism, because as a participant in a blue-green space, you will be the first person to notice if there is excessive pollution, if there is unusual discoloration of the water, if there's, you know, massive microplastics on the shore, lots of fishing nets or detritus in the water. Or if you look back to shore and you realize, oh my gosh, they're building a massive new range of housing or marina on this bit of coastline. You know, is that going to affect the natural movement of sand or the mangrove, or is that going to increase the population of people accessing the beach? So this sensitivity towards the environment is something that surfing really fosters. And I think that's a really important opportunity for new generations to be doing things. It's not unique to surfing. Of course, it's unique to a lot of outdoor activities, whether you're mountain biking, whether you're hiking or walking. But if you are in the natural environment, you're going to be tuned to any negative impacts on it. And you're going to be one of the first people to campaign or at least raise a voice against, you know, what's happening here and why, and what can we do about it to create a more sustainable situation so other people can continue to enjoy these opportunities.
Mm. And just going back a bit to the mindfulness part, we often say we need peace of mind, but a lot of the time we need peace from our minds. And surfing and being in the water, like you described with your kids going down after school, where they see the rainbow and they see the waves and they can see everything going on in this dynamic environment, that takes us away from the clutter, like you said earlier, and the stress, and projects us away from our problems and our little world and to the bigger and wider environment, which must just help us relax. And also, like you said, make us more tuned to the environmental problems that are going around. I mean, I don't surf at the moment, but whenever I've been out in nature bird watching, I start with a passion of seeing all the birds, seeing the nature. And then the more you spend in that time, the more changes you see, both positive and negative. So I think the best way for people to care about the environment is just to be in it, right?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the arguments I really tried to progress in the Mindfulness and Surfing book that was published in 2016, which has sold really well and had a lot of great positive feedback around the world, because it has a Spanish edition and it sells well globally, is that it's not just about the Asian philosophy of mindfulness inside us, which I think can verge onto the self-obsession that we see from social media. It's more about the bigger body mind of our place within the world. And that's something that I was really keen to write about and talk about in that book, because I didn't want to add to, you know, a fantastic list of world-class work from, you know, ancient Taoism through Buddhism to, you know, contemporary kind of Zen mindfulness that internalizes that experience, which of course is extremely important for people. What I wanted to do was recognize that it's our place in the bigger body mind of the blue planet that we share. And that's what I wanted to really kind of discuss with the way surfing positions you, is that yes, we declutter and we allow a clarity of thought and experience through being in a physical space that allows us to not worry about stresses and anxieties, but celebrate this in front of us and around us and take, you know, and make the most out of that moment in the here and now. I wanted to say, actually, we're in a shared space here in this blue planet, and the bigger body mind of the planet is what we center ourselves in. And therefore, yes, we are decluttered, but we're also attuned to the sea life, the social situation around us, and the changing weather patterns. And that links to the environmental activism. But at the same time, I think that any action sports is on this fine line between the blue and the red mind. And
yeah,
through having children and introducing an activity that I've loved since a small person and have excelled in professionally and seen and been around lots of like high performing outcomes for some of the best in the world, through having children, I really learned about the nuances of the negative impacts of the red mind, that being the danger, the overwhelmingness, this will put them off for life because you've thrown them in at the deep end.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really important at any level of activity to step slowly and safely, so you develop confidence, resilience, and then you can make your own decision as to how you will test your limits. And that may well be skateboarding at the skate park and learning to drop in to a small mini ramp that's only waist high and thinking, you know, I've got the confidence now to build up to the steeper drop in, or maybe recognizing that's not for me. And if I take that now to the sea experience of introducing surfing to my kids, knowing that developing a love of moving water and an appreciation of going under the water, learning to read the sea, those are important stepping stones before you really even need to be lying on the board. And then holding the board, handling the board, celebrating that the wipeout in the small surf is as fun as the ride in the small surf. And then through the confidence developed, building up to more powerful and more critical waves, rather than being a parent that throws your children in at the deep end and expects them to be adrenalized and like immediately, you know, celebrate the danger side. That's a good way of, you know, newcomers being frightened from the activity for life. And I think that that, you know, building up slowly is a really important thing. And one of the great activities that we've done very well in Britain for over 100 years is a wooden belly boarding. And that's like a big part of the narrative of how people have engaged with the coastline of the UK in Wales, in Devon, in Cornwall, in the Channel Islands, in, you know, in summer holidays, riding small waves on wooden belly boards since the, you know, early 1920s. And that is a really safe way of enjoying breaking waves. And it's a really great starting point for anybody to kind of access safely the love of the sea. And the fact that we have a lot of sand bottom beaches around the UK where you can ride those waves gently right up to the sand, and there's no rocks to cut you, and there's a support and nourishment in the way we have a lifeguard culture of surveillance to kind of manage that space safely. And that's a wonderful starting point for kids to then think, is this an activity I'm going to do more of on different equipment at more challenging locations?